Brother Greg, would you want to open us up in prayer, please?
God, we just want to thank you for another opportunity we have to be here. Thank you for the time that Dale has put into studying your word. I just pray that you would help him to give us what you want us to hear tonight.
Yes.
I pray that we would take it in and just help us to make the right decisions from what we hear. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to finish off the second half of the afflictions of Joseph. And I got that out of Amos 6:6, and I'll just read it again real quick. And it says that they drink the wine in bowls and anoint themselves with the chief ointments, but they are not grieved for the affliction of Joseph. And so what happens here is God is angry at the children of Israel right now because he has done so much for them, but they have forgotten about what they've forgotten about what he has done for them. And they're out there partying, and they're having a good time, and they're using the best ointment, and they're pouring it on themselves, and they're not giving anything to God. They're not, you know, giving any honor to God. They're not giving good sacrifices. And so, you know, God brings them a challenge. Says, have you forgotten about the afflictions of Joseph? Have you forgotten about what I've done for you? And so I want to give a little recap from the last time. We see that part of his affliction of Joseph is God allowed these things to happen in Joseph's life. The very first thing you have to understand in Genesis 37 is God allowed this to happen. God already knew this was going to happen to Joseph because God had a plan. And the same thing goes for our life. But we lose sight of that. Because we don't think that God is that big in our life. Okay? But Joseph never once in five long chapters ever complains. He never takes his eye off of God. Ever. Okay? Five chapters. His life story. And he never once takes his eyes off God. So God allowed this to happen. Why? Because God had a plan for him and God was in total control of his life. Is there somebody here tonight who thinks that God is not in control of your life? Okay? Because he is. Okay? He's in control so much that he's controlling the very breath that is in your nostrils even tonight. Okay? And he could just end it. It could be done. It could be over with and that is it. But God in his mercy has allowed us to sit here one more time tonight. One more time to come to Bible study. One more time to have the opportunity to open the Word of God. And so we should be thankful for that. But God is in total control of his life. And God's will was coming to light in Joseph's life. And guess what? Joseph believed God, John. He believed that God had him in his hand the whole entire time. Not once did he waver to the left or the right. And, you know, we're going to see more. We're going to get up to that point where he's got sold into Egypt. And that's where we're going to start tonight. But, man, not once did he ever waver in his faith. Part of his suffering was Joseph was honest above all things. Regardless of that consequence for telling the truth, listen, young people, regardless of the consequence of telling the truth, I tell my kids this, you're better off just telling me the truth. The punishment is a whole lot less worse you telling me the truth. Because when I find out it's a lie, it's going to get a whole lot worse for you. And you know what? My kids come to find out, Dad, I know this is going to hurt, but this is what happened. You know what? I'm pretty merciful at that point. I don't lay it to them like I could, but I'm pretty merciful. And you know what? I want to teach my children at any cost, be honest. And you know what? Your friends are not going to like you for it. Josh, you're working over there at Dollar General. With all that's in you, you be honest because they'll see that more than anything. You know why? They're all crooks. Okay, people we work around are crooks. They're looking to take what they can. They're looking to get. Even look at, you know what God convicted me over one time? That I was stealing time. I'd clock out 5 or 10 minutes, 15 minutes after I was supposed to be gone, off the clock. And now God convicted me. He says, you're not supposed to do that. I was stealing time and being honest.
God
convicted me on that. I had what they call at McDonald's, I had manager's numbers, which means all I had to do was punch in my numbers and anybody could have anything for free. And I would do that for my employees, you know, hey, you do this extra favor for me. And then my store manager came up and said, you know you're not supposed to be doing that. Okay, above all things, Joseph was honest. That's the very first thing that we learned of Joseph. The second thing, Joseph would suffer for doing the right thing. Sometimes it looks like it's going to be easier, young people. It looks like it's going to be easier doing the wrong thing, but it will not. You will pay a price down the road, okay? Because you know why? That'll become your habit. You'll start doing things on a regular basis that are wrong, okay? Start off trying to do the right things, and that's what Joseph done. Joseph did the right thing above all things, okay? And so number four is God blessed him above his brothers because of his faithfulness, and he would suffer the wrath of jealousy, okay? Because Joseph was faithful, he would suffer the wrath of his brothers. And they would be jealous of what he's begun. They were jealous. Oh, you think you're going to rule over us? And they wanted to slay their very brother. They didn't just want to kill him, but it was so violent what they wanted to do. Just think about their hearts. This is their brother. This is not a stranger or somebody on the side of the road. This is their own brother that they wanted to slay. Okay, and they wanted it to be very violent. They wanted their father to look and say, wow, a lion tore him. You see a person who's gotten torn by a lion, it's pretty gruesome. But that's what was in their heart. They wanted that to look like that with their brother. And so because he was going to do the right thing, because he was faithful, God blessed him, he suffered the wrath of his brothers. Okay, they wanted to slay him. Number six is Joseph would be thrown into the pit and sold into Egypt. But look at this. Was only the beginning of his afflictions. We've only heard about his family. Now he's going to enter into a whole different world. Okay? We heard just the sufferings of his family. Take heed to Joseph's life and his family because there are good things you can learn, just what we've learned last week into this week about handling family and how Joseph done things. And it will make a difference in your life. And so I was just looking and wondering about some things. So I just went and did a little bonus study. The account of Joseph's life spans from Genesis 37 through 41, five chapters. But throughout the Bible, in smaller portions, his life account is told and mentioned 202 more times, including the New Testament. That's how important Joseph's life is to God. He wanted us to really know Joseph's life. He wanted us to know the things that Joseph did. He wanted us to know the things that Joseph suffered. Because it's also a picture of Christ. It's also a picture of Jesus Christ and what he'd done to deliver us. He knew. Jesus Christ knew exactly what he was going to suffer. But he trusted the Father. Father, not my will, but yours be done. Okay, he knew what the cross was going to be. You know what the most painful thing for Jesus Christ was? It's when God the Father turned his face from him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That never happened to Jesus Christ. They've been together since eternity past. And at that point, the Father couldn't look upon Nathan. Couldn't look upon Tanya. Couldn't look upon Chris. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? So anyway, tonight, if you would turn with me to, we're going to go to Genesis, no, let's go to Psalm 105. Look at this. I just found this. I was searching some things out. Go to Psalm chapter 105, and I'm going to show you. Joseph's even mentioned in the book of Psalms, and it's a good psalm, and it just gives you a hint of a little bit about Joseph. Psalm chapter 105, let me get there myself. He's got a fascinating life. You really need to get in there and study Joseph's affliction. And that really, you see, God piqued my interest by me seeing that Joseph's affliction in that sentence in Amos 6:6. And I know that tonight, if you're reading your Bible at any time, if you're reading your Bible, there's going to be a question that comes up. Go find the answer. You will enjoy that study. But what do we do most time? We write it down. I'll get to it later. I ask my family how many sticky notes are around the house. How many, you know, things are full of things that I have around the house. I should have got to that. And things that I didn't learn now. Things I don't have. Okay? And so, that's how this came up. Look at Psalm chapter 105, verse 17. And he said, he sent a man before them, even Joseph. Talking about the children of Israel, that God sent Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. And so all that, what is that telling us when it says the word of the Lord tried him? That Joseph knew that God was moving in his life. Joseph understood that whatever comes my way, this is God's will for my life. Man, could you imagine if we got a grip on that? I still don't have a grip on that. I go, why, Lord? Why is this happening to me? God says, don't you know I'm in control? Don't you know that I have your very life in my hands? Don't you trust me? Remember, we can quote that all day long. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not that on thine own understanding, but acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy path. We say that to people all the time, but we can't live it. We have a hard time living these verses. Well, Joseph understood that. And when the word came that God was going to, look, he gave Joseph a dream, and he showed him. And Joseph never faltered once. He went, and even paying the price of his family trying to kill him. Okay? Are you willing to pay that price? What's the price you might have to pay? Look at verse 19. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Verse 20, the king set him and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and they let him go free. And it goes on and it says, he made him lord of the house and ruler of his all of his substance to bind his princes in the at his pleasure and to teach his senators wisdom. Do you see what's going on here? Because of Joseph's faithfulness, that he's teaching Pharaoh's people. He's teaching them the things of God. He's taking the senators who are underneath Pharaoh and he's teaching them the things of God. Joseph never wavered in his God. That's one of my prayers here for Liberty Behind Bars is to be a Daniel or a Joseph because they learn how to work in the governments of their day but never compromise on their God ever. Here we see that clear as day. Joseph is teaching the senators of Egypt. Okay? Go ahead.
Why go with the idea of be a Daniel or a Joseph? I would have thought lean a bit towards one or the other. But why?
Because they both have their qualities. They both have special qualities about how they handled the situations that they were each in. But the one thing that they both had is neither of them ever faltered. When they said, you can't pray anymore, Daniel went home, opened his windows, and started praying 3 times a day. He never stopped. Okay? Just because the government told him to do something doesn't mean he was going to do it. He served his God over the government. Okay?
Yeah, even that, he made sure that if someone was able to see him, that
see
it was on.
That he was going to go ahead and be in direct disobedience to the God. You're not going to stop. Because what they say? We can't find any fault in him. We have to attack his what? God. We got to attack his religiousness. Could you imagine that being your testimony? There's no fault we can find in this person. So we're going to have to try to get him at his God. Can they say that about us? I'm afraid they can't about me. They sure cannot. I hope that guy not can. You trust me. There are faults in my life that are unbelievable, but you know what? God in his mercy. God is so merciful. Look at. Anyway. He made him lord of the house, ruler of all this substance to bind his princes at his pleasure. At his pleasure, he took the princes and he bound them. He could do whatever he wanted. All because he was faithful to God. All because he said, nothing else matters. I'm going to do exactly what God would have me to do. And here's Joseph being obedient through all things, even the slaying of his brothers. Right now, at this point, he's beyond that. Okay? He's beyond the whole thing of being thrown into a pit and his brothers turning on. Now he's in Pharaoh's house, and God has given him favor. Look at it. Verse 23, Israel also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than his enemies. All because of one man's obedience. All because one man determined above all his family and above all the world that they were going to throw at him. Because of his obedience, they were made stronger than his enemies. How about that? Can people say that about us today? Because we're obedient above anything that our family might think of us or what the world might throw at us, that Christians that here at Black Creek, our brothers and sisters, have been made stronger over their enemies because of us. They did for Joseph, just told us that. Why? Because he was faithful. He loved God. He trusted him. He lived what he taught. And you know, that's an accusation that Paul makes. He says, if you're going to preach the gospel, you must live the gospel. So if you're out there telling anybody about Jesus Christ in any form or fashion, you have to live it. You have to live it. That's hard to do, my friend. But you know what? God in his mercy. Now look it. Now we see here that in Genesis 37, 23 through 28, he was thrown into the pit, and now he's sold into Egypt, and now he's in Egypt, and so all seems to be going very well. He's in a very important position. Could you imagine that? Being put in a position, and then all of a sudden it all falls out from underneath you. And you're doing the right thing. It's not because you're doing anything wrong, but God has a plan. Look, if you're doing everything that you're supposed to be doing right, and all of a sudden it comes to falling apart, because God has a plan. I'm just telling you now, that's easier to say than live. I don't have an S on my chest. Things don't bounce off. I'm not Superman, man. That stuff is hard to live. Because I ask God all the time, man, I believe that I'm in your will, Lord. Why is it falling out from underneath me today? Why is this happening to me? I got a plan, Dale. Hold on. Well, you sure? Lord, I'm not sure if you see? You sure you have that, Lord? Yeah, I'm sure I got. Lord, I'm not sure if you. Yeah, that's what we try to do. We try to compromise with God, and we try to let him know we don't think you really have this. Just because you spoke the world into existence doesn't mean you can help me. I mean, why would we believe that about God, Nate? How about anybody in here that's lost? God spoke the world into existence, but yet you don't think he wants to save you. Jehovah God, the Creator, died on a cross for lost people. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. A love that seeks. The one who spoke everything in existence that we see today is the very one who died for lost people. But he can't save you? Has his arm been shortened that he cannot save? Or his ear stopped that he cannot hear? Isaiah? No. But that's what we think. Turn with me to Exodus 39. We're going to skip over a few chapters. Turn with me to Genesis 39. Sorry about that. Genesis chapter 39. We're going to go from 37 to 39. A lot happens in between there. But here's Joseph. He's sitting on the second hand of the throne. He's underneath Pharaoh. He's got all this power. And watch what happens here. Genesis 39. We're going to go 1 through 9. Genesis 39, 1 through 9. And it says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, the Egyptian, brought him in the hands of the Ishmaelites, which he had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that that the Lord was with him. When people look at us, are they seeing the Lord is with us? Look at the only way we're going to, when I go into that jail, if they're not seeing Jesus Christ, forget it. There's no hope for them. Because there's nothing they need to see in me. There's nothing that people need to see in me. What they need to see is Jesus Christ in me. Okay? That is the hope for them people. There's no hope in me for them. The only hope that's in me is Jesus Christ. And Paul says, be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. What is that hope? Jesus Christ. Okay, and so they see, he says here, they see that the Lord is with him, and that the Lord was made, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, verse 4, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had put into his hand, verse 5. And it came to pass from that time that he had made him overseer in his house, and that over all the land, that the Lord had blessed the Egyptian house for Joseph's sake. And the blessings of the Lord were upon all that he had in this house, and that were in the field, verse 6. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and he said, lie with me. Here it comes. Everything's going wonderful. He's up there and did anybody have to go and tell them about Joseph? Even Pharaoh knew about Joseph. He says he didn't worry about anything, he just worried about the bread he ate. Because he knew that Joseph was going to take care of everything. This is the power that Joseph has in Egypt. And here it comes. We thought it was bad with his family. Now here comes sin. Here comes the devil. Here comes the world. They're getting ready to lay it on Joseph. I mean, it's going to come pretty hard. It's going to come in successions of ways that are unbelievable. If the first part happened to us where our brothers were mad at us, we'd be in a hissy fit. Not even being thrown in the pit, Stephen, and, you know, beaten, sold into Egypt. Could you imagine that? No, here's Joseph. He's over that already. Never talks about Joseph having bitterness against his family, does it? Ever. He's ready to forgive him at the drop of a dime. As soon as he sees him, boom, he starts crying. He's, oh, he's done. It's over with for him. But it wasn't for his brothers. His brothers were afraid of him. They thought he was going to kill him. Okay? Shouldn't that be us? Be ready? Look at it says. Lie with me. Verse 8. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he committed all that he hath in my hand. Verse 9. And there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How can I do this thing of great wickedness and sin against Pharaoh? I know what it says. I know exactly what it says, Amy. Thank you, honey. I love you, babe. It wasn't worried about sinning against Pharaoh. If he slept with Pharaoh's wife, he wouldn't be sinning against Pharaoh. He'd be sinning against God. You see, this is where people have it all messed up today, is they think that they're sinning against one another, and they're not. You may wrong somebody, you may fault somebody, but you're sinning against the holy God. That's the issue. The issue that God is trying to hold against that one who's not saved is you keep coming to the altar with the things of the world, and God says, it's not the things of the world that I got against you. It's what I have against you that you have against me. Those things that you have done against me, David makes it clear. He says, it's against thee, and thee only have I sinned in thy sight. There's only one time in your Bible that we sin outside of God, and that's sin with our body when we commit fornication. That is the only sin that's against anything outside of God. We sin against our own bodies when we bring ourselves into that. That's what the Bible says. It's clear on that. All sin is against God. Okay? And here it is. Again, Joseph would suffer affliction for doing what's right. He didn't do it. Okay, can I ask you guys this? Did God see Joseph refuse that? Did God see Joseph refuse Pharaoh's wife? Yeah. Did he stop him from going to prison?
Nope.
How about this? Let me say this. Jesus Christ is walking the earth. He's out here in his ministry. John the Baptist is in prison at the same time. You think Jesus didn't know that John the Baptist was about to lose his head? Did he stop it? He didn't run to prison and deliver John the Baptist. He didn't stop knowing that his head was going to be cut off. You see John the Baptist worried about it? No, he said, take my head off. Why? Because he had his eyes fixated on a better thing. There was a better home way for him. You know, Jesus Christ, I always tell people this. Look, Jesus Christ promised a man on the cross next to him. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Soon after that, right, Greg? Soon after that, Jesus Christ gives up the ghost. What happened to the man on the cross? They had to come break his legs or he died. He left him alive on the cross. He was going to suffer the agony and the death of that cross before he entered paradise. Jesus Christ didn't stop and take him right there. He left him there. Just like he's going to leave Joseph in prison. Why? He's got a plan for that. If you look at that man on the cross and think of the testimony he has now by being left there. If you'll recognize that Jesus Christ left that man on the cross for his legs to be broken so that he will suffer by suffocation. That's what he did. But you know what? That man, he was asphyxiated on paradise. You can come break 15 of his legs and it wouldn't have bothered him one bit. He's ready to die and go home. You see, imagine that being us today. We go through one little small trial and all of a sudden our whole entire life is falling apart. Everything is over with. It's done. Thank God we don't live back in these days because we'd be a mess. Joseph suffered for doing the right thing. And look, it doesn't get better for him. Genesis 39, verse 12 says, that, and she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled and got him out. And she, look, he says, look, get off of me. Get off. And he leaves. Look, let's just I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, men and women, but most of us dabble with the sin before we run. Matter of fact, we don't even run. Most of us just dabble in it and walk because we keep looking back at it. Joseph shed his coat and left. It says he fled. That means he didn't even stay there for a hot second. She grabbed the coat and he was out. Look what it says. He fled and got him out. He got out as quick as he could. He did not stay around or fall for the ploy of the devil. And in doing so, he was set up and blamed for something that he did not do. Does that sound familiar, Kyle? Here's the biggest. This guy's about to be blamed for something he didn't do. I remember just starting to go to work at McDonald's many years ago after getting saved. God, you know, kind of put me in that predicament there. And I remember Pastor just telling me this, Dale, if you can't take being blamed for something you didn't do, then don't go to work. That's never going to happen. Oh, it happened way too much. But I learned so much going through that. Here we see Joseph. A man who's second in charge in Pharaoh's house, who's teaching the senators, who's taking the princes. He's taking those men and he's bounding and whatever he wants. He's talking to them and he's teaching them, so much so that Pharaoh don't even worry about a thing in his house. And here comes the devil. Here comes sin staring Joseph right in the face. And Joseph could have said, you know what? My master gave me everything. I had a rough childhood. I'm just going to go ahead and jump in this. He didn't. He had his eyes fixed on God. And he fled. He's going to pay a price for that. My friends, I just want you to know this. You're going to pay a price if you'll flee sin. If you'll flee those things that the world is doing or family might be doing around you, and you flee that, you're going to pay a price. I remember me and my wife after we got saved. They thought we were in a cult, David. They thought we lost our mind, man. But you know what? It was well worth the price that we paid. It was worth 100% every bit of it now. You know why? Because in that me taking a stand, I got to have a wonderful relationship with my wife's father, who hated me in the beginning. I mean, so much so where the man would tear up about me and he'd say, this is my son-in-law. He's a preacher. And he'd start crying. He said, he's going to pray for us. I mean, a huge crowded room. And he'd always put his arm around me and say, I love you, Dale. And I'd give him a King James Bible and I would talk to him about it. And we'd have those conversations. You know why? Because I stood my ground. I stood my ground just like Joseph did. And while the world around me and the family around me was doing whatever they wanted to do, we stood our ground. And you know what? What a blessing for that. I would have never had that opportunity had I caved. Look, when you cave, they're watching. Well, they don't know. They know. They know. Look, we must have the same mindset as Joseph to run from sin and not try and play with it. It seems fun for a season. But then it goes away and the hardships come. It's not worth the price you're going to pay for it. Young people, you have to understand, listen to people who have been there. You don't want to get into what you think you can handle. And the devil's got you thinking you can handle it. I know my own two kids think they know more than I do. They have no clue. At Luke's age, he's getting ready to be 17 years old. At Luke's age already, I had already done my first bid. You see, my son? I've already done my first jail bid, and I've already got a kid that's alive out there at Luke's age. I was already an alcoholic, Stephen, smoking cigarettes and doing drugs at Luke's age. You think he really understands what is out there in that world? He don't have a clue. But I'll tell you one thing. It's going to show its ugly face to him. Going to come after them. Train them up in the way they should go. You take Taryn, man, you train that boy at all costs. You train him because the world wants to take him now. You know why? Because God answers his prayers and you're sitting in this church tonight, brother. Go ahead.
Well, Ben, kind of adding on to that, I don't know when this happened, but all of a sudden the thought came to mind. The idea of being an exception to really anything is really nothing but a cruel illusion. Would you agree with that?
Wait, say that again.
The idea of being an exception, like, oh, this isn't going to happen to me, this, that, and the other thing is nothing but a cruel
illusion. Yeah, it's nuts to say it, okay? It's crazy. It's insane to say that this can't happen to me or this won't happen to me. Folks, let me ask you one question. Do you think that I planned on turning out the way I did? You think I said, well, this will never happen to me. I'll never get into it. No, no. That's just the foolishness of somebody's heart. Go ahead.
I remember I told you this when the day after it happened. But I remember, all my life, I've always, looked and essentially hated, even the idea of smoking, and I've never, ever considered it. And then there was the one day I was working at Dollar General, and there was no customers, and I'm just, I turn around, and I see the cigarette case, and all of a sudden, and I knew it was the devil, and all of a sudden this little thought popped in my head, you could probably just take one of those and, have a good night. And I had to literally walk fast away from that area and start putting some away because I knew just how easily that kind of thing happens.
Addiction is quick, brother.
I remember I told you I believe it was the Sunday after or something like that.
Yeah, amen, brother. Yeah, run from it. There's no, run from it. But look, here's what Joseph knew the Lord was with him. He knew that he did the right thing. And he trusted that God would take care of him and he'd get the glory. Look at verses, chapter 39, 19 through 23. And it says, and it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me. And his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper. Look, no matter where Joseph goes, God gives him favor. It doesn't matter what why does God treat him that way? Because Joseph did everything he was supposed to. Joseph, in the face of any adversity, in the face of his family wanting to slay him, selling him to the Egyptians, and then the wife, his master's wife, wanting to have sexual intercourse with him. What's he do? He stays faithful in that thing, and God is with him even in prison. Now Joseph's sitting in prison. If we were accused of something that we didn't do, we wouldn't be like Joseph and be okay in prison. You see, Joseph understood. It said that he trusted the Lord. Joseph understood. He's got a plan for me. Because you know why? I come to realize this. We're too busy trying to convince everybody else what we are and not God. We're too busy trying to convince everybody else that, no, that's not who I really am. We should be worried about convincing God who we really are. That's our main focus. That's who we should be worried about. But we're not. Because most of us always worry about the people around us. Joseph wasn't worried about the people around him. Who would have known that?
A workman approved of God.
That's right, workman approved of God. But who would have known Joseph done that with his master's wife? The most important person on this planet, God. And that's what the young people in this room, not all of you, but most of you don't understand, is God sees everything. There's nothing he doesn't see. He sees your thoughts as you sit in this church right now. He sees what you do outside of this church. He sees the things that you do when you're home. He sees the thoughts that are going through your heart, the thoughts that are going through your mind. And Joseph understood that, and that's why he fled sin.
Could it be that many of us don't understand it, or is it more that we don't care?
You tell me. Is it because you don't care, or don't you understand it?
Maybe it's a little bit of both. Maybe we don't care to understand it.
Yeah, that's right. Some people don't care to understand it. I work with a bunch of them that are in the jails. That's my work, is to help them understand that. They don't understand things like we do. Okay? They see what they do against society as what God is holding against them. They have no clue about the spiritual life. They have no clue about I tell people this all the time when I'm in churches. They can come up here and preach a better sermon than anybody on this planet, and they're lost. Because that's all they hold on to is knowledge about everything. Everything. I mean everything. Do you ask them a question about anything you want and they'll give you an answer? Because knowledge puffeth up. It did the same thing to me when I was in prison. Asked my wife when I came home from prison. You name a Bible, Stephen, and I'll quote you the scriptures out of it. Am I right, Amy? I don't care what Bible it was. But what good did it do me? Nothing. It couldn't hold me. Why? Because my heart was still... I had a pastor tell me this, and it's scientifically proven. I talked to pastor about it, and I even looked up some research. Let's say you need a new heart. I die, I give you my new heart. I hate fish. I can't even stand fish. I like fishing, but I can't stand to eat fish. If I was to put my heart into you and donate my heart to you, eventually you would start hating fish. Mm-hmm. It's about changing the heart, not the outside of the person. Okay? That's what we need to work with. Changing the heart of a person and not the outside. The psychiatrists and all that, that's what they try to do, is put pills in people and change the outside, how they act. They can't change who they are inside. Only Jesus Christ could do that. Only the Creator, Jehovah God, can change a person on the inside. Nothing else on this entire planet will ever do it. That's what people can't understand, because, here, well, they need Jesus plus this and Jesus plus that. No, they don't. They need Jesus and that's it. People don't believe it anymore. Okay? They don't believe that Jesus Christ is the God. He's the one who spoke it all into existence. They don't believe the power of Jesus Christ and what he can do. Go ahead, Josh and Randy.
I've come to grips with a while back. Everything I've been here years on end with the church, all head knowledge, but I've yet to learn it here. How do you get to that point exactly?
Well, you know, it's the determination on if you really do want it. Okay? Give yourself a heart check. Do you really want that? Now think about something that you really want. What would stop you from getting what you really want? Nothing. So let's say you really want to be saved. Then what's stopping you from getting there? Surely it's not God. Surely it's not the preaching of the King James Bible that stopped. Surely it's not the Holy Ghost stopping you. So what's stopping you then? What is it about you? What is it about you? What is it about your diligence or whatever it is that is in you that is stopping you? Because it's not God. God said this, I came to see. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So does that include you, Nate? How about it, Stephen? If he be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. Does that include you? So lift him up. Put your eyes on him. Just like he says, like that golden serpent had to be lifted up for people to be saved from the snake bites. He says, I must be lifted up that same way. Then he'll draw you to himself. Is that the truth or a lie? Do you believe it or don't you? Okay? That's reality. It's what he said. It's written here, is it not?
Yes, sir.
Then it's either the truth or it's a lie. Which one is it? You can't be on the fence about it. This is either the Word of God, and what it says is what it says, or it's not. And how do you want it? Do you want it? Do you want it your way? Who pastor says it? You want it Yahweh, Burger King? No. Okay? It's God's way or no way. Plain and simple. Okay? Look at it. God doesn't want people to sit around being lost, you know, for decades, and that's not what he's trying. He's not trying to draw things out and do all that kind of stuff to people. It's not God doing it. It's the person. There's something. Let me just say this. I'm not going to get into great detail. But 6 days ago, God gave me liberty from something that I couldn't see, ready, for 15 years. 15 years. And then 1 second, he put his finger on it. And I understood it, and it's gone out of my life forever. 15 years I drugged that thing. You know why? Because I didn't want to see it. I want to see it, Lord, but Lord, you can't be meaning that because of this, this, and this, okay? So that really can't be what you're trying to show me. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm trying to show you then. No, you mean this over here because of that, right, Lord? 15 years I did that. 10 years of it being saved. Dragging it in with me. And then every single time God would show it to me. Let's just put it over. Now, God, here's my excuse, okay? This is the reason why. One day I'm going to tell you what God did for me. It's a miracle that I'm standing here tonight the way I am. David knows. I shared it with David. Nate knows. It's a miracle that I'm standing here tonight the way I'm standing here. Nate, lifting weights like that. Nate lifted 435 pounds today. Deadlifted it. Beast. I'm not even going to talk about David. I work out with them young guys. They keep me healthy and young, man. But look at man. What is impossible for God in your life? Please be here Sunday at 1 o'clock because I know God gave me a message. Pastor wants me to preach at 1 o'clock and I'm going to preach on the God of impossibilities. He is the God of impossibilities, my friend. I'm living proof of it myself. He is the God of impossibility. He is the God of all impossibility. When it seems impossible, God works the best. But are you seeing it? Okay? I'm going to preach my whole message here right now. We're going to go back to Joseph's affliction, okay? And so Joseph knew this is all for God's glory. Look at verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, a place of the king's prisoners where he is bound. And there he was in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whosoever, they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not at anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it prosper. So here we go. Joseph comes out of his family. They tried to kill him. He's in Egypt. He's a leader. Everybody's watching everything he's doing. Sin comes up. He flees from it. He's doing the right thing. He goes to prison. Here, do you see what's going on here? There's a testimony being built here. From the king's palace to the gutters in the prison. Everybody's going to know Joseph. Everybody's going to know Joseph's story. Everybody's going to know that the Lord is with Joseph. You see, that's part of God's plan at this point. Because he wants to see from the throne of Egypt where Pharaoh understands that God is... Let's see, Pharaoh doesn't serve the same God as Joseph.
No.
But he knew the Lord was with Joseph. That's why his princes, that's why his senators listened to Joseph's wisdom. And now he's in prison. And now that prison guard says, here, you take care of all of them. It says that the prisoner, the guard, didn't even worry about what was underneath Joseph's hands. He just gave it all to him. You go ahead and run it. He said there's a testimony being built here. It's a testimony that throughout eternity, throughout eternity from Genesis 37 through Genesis 41, all the way through the New Testament 200 more times, the story of Joseph is going to be there for eternity. We'll always hear about Joseph. We'll always hear about his afflictions. God calls him an affliction. Well, what testimony are we leaving in our life? It's not like we're all getting younger here. But what are we leaving? What legacy are we leaving? What are people going to look back and think about Kyle? What do they see in Kyle at these years that he says that he got saved and got born again? What are they going to see from that point forward? There's a legacy. People are watching you now, my friend. That's right. You don't know all the answers. Who does? I don't. The best way to learn them? Get in it. Pastor started sending me out to jails and other churches. I said, Pastor, I can't. Go, Dale. Pastor, I don't understand this question. Dale, it's time for you to start studying your own Bible. But get in it. Joseph got in it. He knew that God had something in his life. In Genesis chapter 40, we see Joseph is in prison. And even while he was there, God used him to help others and be a witness for God. And I believe God kept Joseph in prison, not just to help people, but to protect Joseph from what was about to happen, and God removed Joseph from Potiphar's house to a place where he could be called on by Pharaoh. God didn't stick Joseph in prison because he did wrong, but Joseph was stuck in prison to be protected. From who? Pharaoh's wife. If Pharaoh's wife was going to try it, surely others were jealous and wanted to try something. So God says, I need to remove him at this moment, and I need to put him in a safe place. We're going to put him in prison where we can keep him safe. And there's Joseph sitting in prison. You see him crying and whining about it? He's going about doing the Lord's work. in prison. He's about to, God put him in prison for a protection. And then we'll go on, it says here, God had to test Joseph to see if he would trust him so that he could put him where God needed to be used for God's purpose. Boy, it seems like Joseph, look at, he's still a kid. I think he's probably in his 20s at this point. It started back when he was a young child, all the way through his teenage years, and now he's probably somewhere in his 20s. Man, that's his whole life has been nothing but affliction. But Joseph's not crying about it, because he knows that God has something in the future that's going to be better for him. He understands that about that. God didn't say Joseph's life. He said Joseph's afflictions. Why? Because there's things we can learn in Joseph's life. There's things we can learn in his afflictions that help us today if we'll take heed to them. Go back and read that. Read the five chapters and see what God shows you in there. Man, there's a lot in there. There's so much in there. It would take me a whole bunch of more weeks to get into everything that's in it. But it's just fascinating to see the life of Joseph, because all because God had a purpose to deliver his people. And God is trying to show lost people that his son, Jesus Christ, his son, is doing the same for them. Living as a carpenter, a poor person, Jesus Christ, as a human being, poor. Fully man, fully God, could have called down 10,000 angels at any time, but chose to come down here and live a sinless life. It says we don't have a priest that doesn't understand what we go through. We have a high priest who understands those things. Why? Because he didn't just go through. He took them upon himself, Isaiah 53 says. He says he took our griefs and our sorrows upon himself. He wore them upon himself. That's how he understood it. Not because he committed those things, but he bore them in himself. Now he understands exactly what it was to be a Tanya and a Dale and a Chris and a Stephen. He understood perfectly those things from when we were a little child and we grew up, and those things that happened to us as we went along. Those our heart choices and the things that we did and the things that we said we're never going to do and so on and so forth. God, see, Jesus Christ took every one of us and he looked at all the way up to your life right now. Josh, every heartache, every tear, every laughter, every bit of it, Jesus Christ understood you perfectly and he still does. Why? Because he took it upon himself. Does that sound like somebody who wants to cast you in hell? What on God's green earth would be the purpose of him doing that for? Well, because of what happened 2 years ago, Joseph's in prison for 2 years now. About this time, he's been in prison for about 2 years. Joseph helped the chief butler. When Pharaoh had a dream, no one could help him to interpret it. The chief butler in Genesis 41, remember Joseph 41:12 says this. And there was with us a young man, a Hebrew, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. You see, for 2 years Joseph sat in that prison. Joseph sat there, and he didn't, you know what he sat there for? Because God had his armor on, he was protecting him for the right time. It was God's timing to send that butler and God's timing to send that baker down there. But they would forget him for 2 years. Now look, doesn't Joseph have all the favor of the guards? The main guard. You don't think that main guard goes and talks to Pharaoh? Why didn't Joseph talk to the main guard? Because Joseph understood he was exactly where God wanted him. He wasn't trying to get out of where God didn't deliver him. How many of us are trying to get out of where God put us? Joseph understood that. But we don't understand that. It's very hard for us to grasp that God has this exact... Look, it says, give thanks in all things. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Tonight, right now, as you sit here. This is God's will for your life. This is will for your life right now, Stephen. At this very second, this is his will for your life. Did you thank him for it today? Well, you know, there's no will, you know. Joseph understood perfectly that God had him exactly where he wanted him. And you know what? Joseph was comfortable. Because you know what? Joseph's about to come out again. For 2 years, he was put away. For 2 years, God put him in protection. For 2 years, Joseph had favor with the guards. And here we go. We just read in 41:12 that he said, he interpreted our dreams to each man according to his dream did he interpret. And guess what happened? And Pharaoh called Joseph for his help. This was the plan of God all along. And it's why Joseph was protected and prospering in prison, because God was setting things up to take place. Do you ever know that there's times that God waits for the perfect timing? Do you know that's why he saved me 10 years ago? Because it was his perfect timing? He saved me 10 years ago because he needed me to be saved for these 10 years. Isn't that awesome? That God would see that it was your time to be saved, Kyle? That it was in his purpose? That God knows perfectly in his time what it's going to take for people? That God knows perfectly. Look, at we are all amazed at the universe and how it goes and the atoms and, I mean, just everything. This is the same God that's spoken into existence, and he has control of our life, but yet we have a hard time believing that. Everything that it takes to create this picture frame and picture, God created that. That same one came down to die for each and every one of us in this room, but salvation is too hard for him. Is it? You know where the power is? In his word. God didn't come down here and touch the earth to create it. He spoke everything into existence. And that's what he speaks, his word, for people to get saved. We're born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, which is the word of God. Okay? We're born again by the word of God. We're born again by the preaching of the word. It says to save them by the foolishness of preaching. It's his word. Why? Because his power is in the word. Take away the word and you take away the power. Doubt the word and you take away the power. This did not lose any of its power. It's the same Bible that God put out there many, many, many hundreds of years ago. It's the same Bible that God ordained by the Holy Ghost to go out and convict and save people's lives by the millions. It's the same Bible. Then what has happened today, Dale, is the hardness and unbelief and the stiff-necked people that take the power out of the Bible. This thing ain't lost any of its power there, Greg. None. This Bible can save today just as well as it did 400 and some years ago. What's the problem today? Amos 8 tells us that. That there's not a there's a famine in the land, not of bread and of water, but of the hearing of the word of God. There's a famine of the hearing of the word of God. But Joseph knew that. You know why? Because the word came and told Joseph. The word of the Lord came and told Joseph, I have you in control. Everything is perfectly in control. Look at Genesis 41:14. It says, then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment, and he came into unto Pharaoh. God, through Joseph's affliction, was once again moving in the life of Joseph to put him in a place to be used for God's purpose. God has a purpose and a plan all along for Joseph's life. And he had to go through these afflictions to be used of God. Do you know that God uses afflictions in Christians' life as well as unsaved people's lives? Because that's when he can rattle a cage. I always say this, and you guys have heard me say it 100 times. We will always learn more out of our comfort zone than we ever will in it. Because it's when God pulls us out of our comfort zone, are we more apt to hear? Are we more apt to pray? Are we more apt to listen and see what God is telling us through his word? Are we more apt to listen to the preaching of the word of God? Then we have that wanting that. Just think about the troubles when they come in your life. How close you want to be to God at that time. Because God sent that for that purpose. Just like Joseph. Everything up to this point, God has allowed and put in place. It's a plan that God made for Joseph. Look at, God has the same plan for your life. Because God loves you just as much as he loved Joseph. And he's got a plan for your life, my friend. Regardless if you're saved or not saved, he has a plan for your life if you just let it unfold. Isaiah 48, 10 through 11 says, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver." He's not going to make it fluffy and easy. Why? Because our heart, the hardness of our heart, the wickedness of our heart, our sin nature, our old man is still in there. And if God makes things too easy, guess what we won't do? What he wants us to. So he says, "Is that going to make it hard on you?" There are some things that God doesn't have to do that with, thank God. But no, most of the time, look what he says here. He says, I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. I don't know if you've ever been close to a furnace, but they're hot. And anything that goes in there, I'm going to tell you right now, is going to be burnt away. He says, "For mine own sake, even for mine own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give glory, any glory to any other." You see, God doesn't want glory to be given to a man. God doesn't want another God to come in between him and you. So he has to refine us. He's got to take that cast away. You know, this world would have thrown us away a long time ago. Matter of fact, they tried. But God, not God. God has taken two people that were full of hatred and bitterness, and the world did not want to be around, and look what he's done to them. Why? But you know what that takes? It takes a refining. Joseph understood that he had to be refined. He had to trust God. He had to understand that God had a plan for his life in order for him to be able to deliver Israel. I'm going to finish this real quick. Genesis 41, Joseph tells Pharaoh his dream about what God is about to do. In Genesis 41, 25, and he says, "And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one." God had showed Pharaoh what he's about to do. Ain't that something? God Almighty spoke to Pharaoh. And Joseph is telling Pharaoh, God is about to tell you what to do. Imagine stepping up to President Biden and said, "Now God's about to tell you what to do." He'd laugh at you in your face. Not Joseph. Joseph walked up to Pharaoh and said, "Hey man, God's about to tell you what to do." Pharaoh's like, "All right." He didn't argue. He didn't say not one word. Why was Pharaoh so easy to listen to Joseph? Because he's seen God in Joseph. He's seen it. He's heard the stories. He's heard the testimonies. He's known what's going on. And here he is seeing Joseph go through all this and stay steadfast through every single bit of everything. Joseph stays steadfast. He runs from that sin. He runs from the hatred of the family. The world can't get to him. The power. Let's see any of us get put in second place. A power in the United States and watch what we do. We kill ourselves. We destroy everything that we have. Here's Joseph sitting in second place, and he runs from the very thing he could have had. Why? Because the things of God were more important to Joseph. The things of the earth were not. They were put in his face. But Joseph said, "I want the things of God." He was determined in his heart that God had a plan for his life. 41, 32, I'm going to read this real quick. 32 through 36. Genesis 41, 32 through 36 says this. "And for the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It's because the thing is established by God. And God will shortly bring it to pass." Man, what a wonderful verse to know that God will establish something and bring it to pass. Didn't he establish salvation? Yes, sir. Didn't he establish the cross? Didn't he establish that? And he says he will bring it to pass. Will he or will he not? Okay? Will he or will he not? But look what it goes on here and says, verse 33. "And now therefore let Pharaoh look out at a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt, and let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years, and come and lay up corn in the hand of Pharaoh, and let him put food in the cities. And that food shall be a store into the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this man, a man in whom the Spirit of God is?" This is Pharaoh, who worships other gods, talking about Joseph. He sees the Spirit of God in him. He says, "Can we find another man such as this?" But look what it took for Joseph to get there. It was the afflictions. And I'm getting ready to close this. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there's none so discreet and so wise as thou art. So everything Joseph went through, that little young child and everything that he went through, the hatred of his brothers and the favoritism of his father and being faithful to God and being honest through all of that, being thrown into a pit and then being put in power and then being taken out of power, put in prison and then be left there for 2 years and now he's coming out. And once again, Joseph's on top. And what's about to happen? All of Israel is about to be delivered because of one man's obedience. Because of one man. No matter what afflictions came his way, no matter what came his way, God knew Joseph's heart. God knew that he would stay steadfast. God knew that no matter what came along, he was going to do the right thing. There could have been anybody else on this entire planet, but God chose a young man named Joseph at an early age to raise up and come and save Israel from famine, from sure death, from certain death. No question. And who did he use? He used a worldly kingdom to do it. God can use anything he wants, my friends. Okay? God can use anything he wants. Let me finish this up. But why in Amos 6 did the Bible say they were not grieved for the affliction of Joseph? Because the real reason for his entire affliction was the purpose that God had to save Israel from destruction. Joseph suffered the hatred of his brother, thrown in the pit to die, sold, blamed for something he didn't do, cast into prison, forgotten, lied upon, and so much more, so that God could put him in a place to save his people. And in Amos, the children of Israel have forgotten the affliction of Joseph so they could be saved and free, and have turned their back on the one and only true God, and has forgotten what he did for them. And because of this, God will once again lead them captive. In Amos 6, 7 and 9, therefore now they shall go captive with the first and go captive, and the banquet of them, they stretch themselves and shall be removed. In Amos 6:6, we see that God is trying to remind them, look, you're out there partying, you're taking all the best things, you're not even worried about me, you have forgotten about the afflictions of Joseph. And in verse 7, he says, now you're going back into captivity. All because they forgot about what Jesus Christ has done to them. Look at Christian, have you forgotten about what God has done for you? You're going through afflictions, you're going through hard times, but he's doing it for a purpose. You remember the day he delivered you from yourself? Hey, how about it, lost person? If you're lost in here tonight, do you not recognize what Jesus Christ has done for you thus far? Can you not see the prayers that he's answered and the time he's given you and the moments that he's given you to breathe air still? Because there's many people tonight who have been seeking for Jesus Christ who are dead and in hell tonight. But God in his mercy has you sitting in church listening to the Bible. Why? He's got a purpose for your life. There's a reason why we're here. It's not by accident. But does he have to bring you back into captivity to get your attention? Because he will do that. He will do that. And I'm going to close. It says, and the Lord God had sworn by himself, saith the Lord God of hosts, I abhor the excellency of Jacob and hate his palaces. Therefore I will deliver up the city that was all therein. And it shall come to pass, if therein remain 10 men in one house, they all shall die. Have we, like Israel, forgotten the affliction of Jesus so that we could be saved and free? Are we not willing to be afflicted so that others may be saved? We may have to go through some things so that others might get saved. You need to remember that. Because the Bible is very clear on that. Are we like Joseph, willing to go through afflictions so that God can put us where he wants us to be used for his will and his purpose? John 8:32 says this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. My friends, I just pray. Go to Genesis 37. And read all the way through chapter 41. And go look back at Joseph's life. Go look at the account of his life. And ask yourself this. Are you willing to do what Joseph done? Are you willing to go through those afflictions? How about it, lost person? Are you ready to see Jesus Christ through Joseph's life? Because it's there. Salvation is there. And he wants to say, look, he's put people in our lives. He's brought people in our lives to show us that he's brought them there. It's not done by accident. I'm not standing in Black Creek Baptist Church because I came here by accident. I didn't leave Buffalo, New York, from out there being with my homies and everything else, to come out here to the woods. Trust me, I'm not a woods person, okay? I am now. I like it out here, but I'm a city guy. But God's put me back in the city. Ain't that something? But you know what he had to do? He had to bring me in the wilderness to get my attention. Legitimately. Deuteronomy 8, 2 and 3 says that. And you shall remember all the days the Lord thy God had led thee these 40 years to try thee, to prove thee, to see whether thou wouldst serve thee and listen to his commandments or what was in thine heart. Okay? What is it? God wants to prove you and he's trying to show you. And if you got to go through afflictions to get there, then go through it. Because it'll be worth it in the end. John, would you close us in prayer, please?
Thank you for the powerful message tonight, Lord, and what you've done in Dale's life, Lord. And we just thank you for it, Father. And we thank you for the life story of Joseph, Lord, and the many things we can learn from that, Lord, by not wavering and being strong, Father. And we just pray we take this with us when we leave tonight and ponder about it, Lord, and try to apply it to our lives, Lord. And we'll give you credit for it. And now, Father, we just ask that you'll bless this time of fellowship and refreshments, and just pray for safe travel home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.